Believe it or not, there are actually people who do not listen to The Ron Van Dam Show. And that means we can say all the terrible things about them we want, because it's not like they're gonna hear it. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
All right.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program. It is indeed the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm not kidding you. God, I had a little phlegm in my throat. Excuse me. Do you know how to spell phlegm? Half of you do, half of you don't. Would you believe that phlegm begins with a P? I know. It's so stupid. Anyway, this is the Friday weekend edition of the program. If you don't understand that, then I guess you don't understand anything. This covers the Friday and the weekend before I do another show. Oh, God. Ran into an old friend, not age-wise, just in the length of time that I've known the person, and I hadn't seen him since the beginning of the pandemia, and I said, "Oh my God, John, how are you?" He said, "Ron, my God, how are you? My God, it's been a long year." I said, "Yeah, I know, it's been over a year, man. God, good to see you. You look good." He said, "Oh, you look good too, Ron." We didn't touch each other because, you know, you don't do that. And, oh my God, I said, oh my God. I said a lot of oh my gods. And then he says, "Ron, hey, what's new? Man, it's been like over a year. What's new with you?" Nothing really. Nothing at all. "How about you, John? How you doing? Boy, it's been a long time. How you been doing?" "Good. What's new with you, man? What's been new with you for a year, over a year?" Nothing really. Nothing. Weird, isn't it? Isn't it weird? Try that. Hook up with someone you haven't spoken to in over a year. Ask them what's new. I bet they respond by saying, "Yeah, nothing really. Nothing really is new. I don't know." Hey, Liz Cheney is no longer the leader of the pack. Her own Republicans kicked her out because she wanted to follow the Constitution. It's like, whoa, something's wrong with that Republican Party. A little fucked up right now. I mean, holy crap, man. You people are embarrassing. Wow. I don't know the guy's name. It was some congressman in the House or the Senate. They were doing an oversight committing. This has been an oversight. I'm sorry. It was an oversight. It's not my fault. It was an oversight. I don't know why they call the committee that. Anyway, they were talking about the January 6th insurrection. And this congressman actually says during this hearing, "Well, you know, nothing really happened on January 6th at the Capitol building. It was just like tourists going through the building. I mean, in the videos, you see that they're staying between the ropes. It was like no different than the other day with tourists in it." And it's like, Are you seriously in a political party saying this? You were voted into office and you're sitting there and you're saying, well, January 6th, nothing really happened. It was just a bunch of tourists went through the building just fine. I don't see what the problem is. What the hell's wrong with you? What the hell's wrong with your entire political party? Wow. Are there free drugs being handed out? What are these delusions that you have? Wow. You want to overthrow the government because you think the election was stolen? Holy crap, man. The judges went through this. There were recounts up the ass. And you're just walking around going, I don't know. I think it was stolen. Oh, my God. If you're a member of the Republican Party, you consider yourself to be, if you don't do some soul searching, you're, whoa, man, nothing could be more obviously absurd. God, are you seeing white elephants on the walls or are you seeing, I mean, like, what delusions are you having? By the way, that's pink elephants. That was the wrong analogy. Sorry. It was an oversight. I should be on the oversight committee. Anyway, how are you? Good to be with you on this fine day or group of days. Hey, I have an incredible guest on today's show, and I am not kidding. She has written a book about the history of Sesame Street, and it is fascinating, and she's a wonderful person. This interview is going to grab you by the you-know-whats, and you're just going to love this. And the reason is, as I shall state during the interview, that the sesame thing, sesame seed, Ron, it's Sesame Street, it's not Sesame Seed. Okay, I made a mistake, all right? God, get off my back, myself. I'm my own worst critic, by the way. You can say anything you want to me, and I'll go, oh, that's horrible, don't say that to me. Things I say to myself, far worse. As a matter of fact, right now, I'm not talking to myself because I'm so pissed with me. Anyway, we grew up on Sesame Street. I don't care how old you are. Well, I kind of do. You grew up watching Sesame Street. Then you had kids. Your kids watched Sesame Street. Your kids had kids. Now you're a grandparent. And now your grandchildren are watching Sesame Street. That's a long time for things. That's spanning generations, as many of us do. Oh, my God. I mean, this is like... And the reason I like talking about things like this is it's like grabbing on to something that is safe. Sesame Street, by the way, was not a safe program. They delved into more topics than any show ever has over their longest show ever stature, and they actually were honest and straight up with children. With children yet, these little beings that run around with these tiny little heads aimlessly throughout the room, we protect them. And here Sesame Street is like explaining stuff to them that like, whoa, these kids don't even have a concept of that. And you're explaining it to them. That was incredible. And it still remains to be. But yet through all that, Sesame Street is like home base. Remember the game when you were a child? Do you remember being a child at all? Do you remember where you lived? Do you know your name? Remember this, it was like tag or something. I think the game was tag where people, the little kids would run around and they'd have to get to home base, which was usually their front door or their you know, the stoop in their apartment building or something. That was home base. And you had to get to home base without being tagged. That's what Sesame Street is, Sesame Seed. It's holding on to home base. This is where I'm familiar. This is something I know very well that has not really changed that much over the years. There aren't many things that have been around that long that are still basically the same. So that's why it's comfort. and you hear this Sesame Street, Sesame Seed theme song, and all of a sudden you're brought back to another time. Everything stops, and you're just transformed. It's a good thing. It's good to have a home base in your head. Yeah, there really is. Do you have a favorite picture on the wall? Do you have any pictures on the wall at all? Any kind of art, any kind of photographs, anything like that? What's wrong with you? It can be a poster. It can be anything. But if it's from your childhood or something that's been on the wall for decades and decades and decades, depending on how old you are, of course, that picture, every once in a while, you'll take a glance at it, and that'll be home base. I've lived with this picture on my wall as far back as I can remember. That is home base. And it's important to have something like that. To me, that's feng shui. Something where you can just look at it and it's home base. It's home base. And you need something like that, something that transcends people. People are great. Like people sometimes. But people come and go. Relationships end. People pass away. Things change. So you need something that transcends all of that. And that's usually an inanimate object, like a painting or a picture or a poster. And if you have one of those on your wall and every once in a while you look at it, you feel that comfort, that connection to your entire life existence. And it's nice. It's nice to have. And that's what Sesame Street is. And oh my God, can I introduce a segment longer than this? Wow. It's crazy, man. It's just crazy. It's crazy. Thank you for listening to the show, by the way. I, by federal regulations, need to play this to point out the emergency exits, etc. Without doing that, I'm violating federal agency rules and regulations as laid out by the Oversight Committee. So please follow these instructions.
This is the Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you for coming. Your waiter will be along shortly. Please be advised that the Ron Van Dam Show has been designated as a non-smoking area. Please watch your step while boarding the Ron Van Dam Show, as contents may have shifted during travel. In clinical studies, the Ron Van Dam Show has not been shown to reduce cholesterol in laboratory animals. Exits are located to the rear on the left and right sides of the auditorium. The sea bass is steamed and served with a white truffle risotto. Illinois residents add 5% sales tax. Shake before serving. If dizziness or swelling occur, stop using the Ron Van Dam Show immediately. Proper ID is required. No cover charge after 10 p.m. Moo. Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show may require you to lift objects weighing 15 pounds or more. Please remain seated until the Ron Van Dam Show comes to a complete stop.
Okay, now sign at the bottom that you've heard these instructions. No, not there. Over here. Where the X is. Oh, my God. Yeah, sign your name. Not print, sign it. Do a script thing. You know what that is? Do it. All right, now date it over here. Very good. Medical insurance. What's your group number? Put that on the card. You don't have insurance? All right, leave it blank. Leave it blank. Date of birth, please. Social Security number. Password. All right, fill that in, please. Shoe size, please. Fill in your shoe size. This is a formal document. I'm sorry I have to do this, but in order for you to continue listening to the program. Oh, wait, don't go away. Don't go away. Never mind. You don't have to sign it. Do you have bowling shoes? Do you own bowling shoes? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. That's embarrassing. I know somebody that owns bowling shoes. A nice guy. But he owns his own bowling shoes. Wow. The only reason I would own my own bowling shoes is if I ever happen to go bowling, which is not a probability. I don't want to put my feet into somebody else's shoes. You know, feet are stinky. They carry diseases, sexual diseases usually. And the only way that they clean these shoes at a bowling alley is to sprinkle talcum powder inside of the shoe. That is not a cleaning agent. what, that It's all right. The shoes are perfectly clean. I put talcum powder in them. Oh, well, if you did that, then I was fine. Oh, please, that's fine. It's like having sex with someone you don't know. Shouldn't you be wearing a condom? Nah, I'm just going to sprinkle talcum powder on it. It's fine. It'll be fine. So the guy owns his own bowling shoes. And as soon as I heard that, the conversation shifted to dead silence. I didn't know what to say. How do you follow that up? How do you follow up the revelation that somebody owns their own bowling shoes? It's not like owning your own golf clubs. It's really different. It really is. Why do people wear bowling shoes anyway? Do they have their own bowling pants? Do you rent out pants at a bowling alley? I'm sorry, you can't bowl here without your bowling pants. And what is the ugliest garment to wear in the world? A bowling shirt. Who came up with the bowling shirt? A special shirt for bowling? The hell's wrong with you? Something's seriously wrong here. That's why I don't go to bowling alleys. I can't deal with those people. I don't understand them. I might as well get on a rocket ship and go to another galaxy because I don't understand them. I've gone bowling many times in my life, especially when I was a child. And even then, as I've said so many times on the program, to the point where it's ad nauseum, the only thing I like about bowling, and I mean the only thing, and I mean the only thing, and I mean the only thing I like about bowling is that the ball comes back to you automatically. That's about it. That is a luxury. It is. Just to see that ball coming back at you, it's like, whoa, this is nice. But besides that, there's just nothing happening in a bowling alley. When I was a kid, they used to project the score. You know, you put the little sheet there with the X's and the slashes for spares and all that. I know that much about it. They used to project it on a screen above your lane so that everybody can see just how much you suck at bowling. And for those few people that are good at it, I mean, that's like, oh, look at the screen up there, everybody. Look at that. Two strikes in a row, everybody. But basically, it's used to shame people. Feeling good about yourself? Have everybody look at your bowling score above your lane. That'll put you down. That'll take care of your little huffy attitude. Anyway, all right, it is time now to speak to our guest. Let's go back in time or even stay where we are because all of that encompasses Sesame Street. Let's talk to the author of this fascinating book that takes us behind the scenes at this phenomenon.
Sunny day, sleeping up.
Dr. Lucille Burbank is here. She has a new book, The Inside Secrets of Sesame Street, 3rd edition. Thanks for being with us today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Such fun.
It is. This is a nice little topic, and I'm glad we're talking about this. Sesame Street has been celebrated in recent months. I'm seeing conversations about Sesame Street everywhere, and it's making me feel good. So thank you for continuing the legacy here.
Well, it's all around, especially in their initiatives. They're doing initiatives on the pandemic, on racism, on foster care. And April was the month for celebrating autistic children. So it is all around.
It's interesting how that show is so upfront with that age group and yet doesn't get criticized for being so upfront, is actually praised for it. That's kind of unheard of in our society these days.
Well, that's why it works, because it's honest with the children, mm-hmm. and it doesn't hide any of its educational intentions. Mm-hmm. Always its belief is to say, hey, we're teaching you, but you're going to have fun learning, and we're going to be honest with you. Just in the case of Mr. Hooper, when he died, mm-hmm. he was the storekeeper on Sesame Street. They told the children, and they decided it was an opportunity to talk about death, and so they did. Instead of saying he went on vacation or he retired, yeah. they decided to tackle that subject matter.
Yeah. You know what's interesting about it? Well, first of all, everybody knows about it because it's crossed number of generations. You were a child, and then you had children, and then you had grandchildren.
Yes, they were all, yes, all involved in it.
So that familiarity is makes it, you know, all of us connect with it. But at the same time, the show never changed, yet it changed. It's kind yes. of an anomaly in that
very sense. Very good point. Mm. Yes, it keeps up with the times. Uh-huh. It does, and it keeps up through its research with the preschoolers and their differing maturity, their different attention spans as generations progress, and their point of view and what they're most interested in. It is one of the most researched programs in the history of broadcasting, and that includes adult ones too.
Yeah, I would say so. Now, how did you get so involved in this subject matter?
Well, I was fortunate enough to be a consultant at Sesame Street. And during that time, I was working on my doctorate. And during that time, the pioneers, the ones who created this wonderful show, were all alive. And I interviewed them for my dissertation. Mm-hmm. And they loved to talk, so we had 3 to 4 hour interviews, and it was in my doctorate and or in my dissertation, and I decided after Sesame Street's 40th anniversary to get it out of that. Also, they had, a lot of them had died in the meantime.
Right.
And I said, oh my gosh, they've given me such rich information. Let's get it out so everybody can benefit from their wisdom and intelligence.
Okay. Here's a confusion for me, and you're probably the one person that can unconfuse me as far as this topic is concerned. Other than that,
that's okay.
Don't even try otherwise. when I was a kid, I was watching the Ed Sullivan Show, and I saw the Muppets, Jim Henson, and then there was Sesame Street. Was there indeed a connection? Did he create Sesame Street? Were there another creator?
Oh yes. I would be delighted to clear up that confusion.
Okay.
Joan Cooney, the co-founder of Sesame Street, uh-huh. always heard of Jim Henson. He was going on with Sam and Friends in mm-hmm. the 50s, and he was becoming very big. So she said to John Stone, her producer and director, uh-huh. hey, can you get him? Because I know he's so busy, but I really want to see these Muppets mm-hmm. and how they would work on our show. Mm-hmm. So he did. They came in, and everybody agreed that the Muppets would be just great food for the writers, and they could teach things in an imaginative way, and they could do things that human beings could not do or the actors could not do. Mm-hmm. And so there are two kinds of Muppets. There's Sesame Street Muppets, uh-huh. and then there are the Muppets that belong to Disney.
Okay.
So Miss Piggy belongs to Disney, and then you got Cookie Monster that belongs only to Sesame Street.
Uh-huh.
And they don't cross the block.
Okay. You know? I got you.
Yeah.
So but Jim Henson's Muppets were the Disney what eventually became the Disney.
Well, they were, all the Muppets, because he coined the term Muppets.
Right.
And their puppets, yeah. all of them are Jim Henson's, whether they're on Sesame Street, whether you're talking about
right.
Big Bird, right. Oscar the Grouch, right. or Miss Piggy
right.
and Ralph.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, they're all Jim Henson Muppets.
Okay, so Jim Henson was at the conception at the very beginning of Sesame Street.
Oh yes, okay. Okay. Yeah, and thank goodness. Right. As Dave Connell said, you know, we didn't want the show to have a star, but oh my gosh, the Muppets, okay. The Muppets, because of their characters. Yeah.
Now, I assume that Jim Henson wasn't doing all the Sesame Street shows at first himself. There was a whole team.
No, but
team.
He did. Right. Yeah. Frank Oz right. is his right-hand man.
Yes.
Now, Jim and Frank Oz worked very well together. For a while, Jim did Ernie, and Frank Oz did Bert.
Ah.
Okay, and then you've got Frank Oz doing Grover. And in fact, if you watch the old Star Wars, Yoda
right.
sounds a bit like Grover because Frank Oz does Yoda.
I see. I see. Okay. And obviously Kermit. Henson.
Jim Henson would sit at an interview and he didn't hide the fact that he was talking for Kermit, and Kermit would be on his shoulder and he would say, and you just got this wonderful feeling because he's out in view and he's talking in his voice, and then he'd switch to Kermit, but you got this feeling they're separate independent people, and it was very enjoyable. He was very visible.
See, I could talk to you for hours about this, and I haven't even started my list of questions, so I think I'm gonna have to get the book.
That is wonderful. That's so nice of you. The book is on Amazon now. There's a second edition, but the reason I did the third edition is because the second edition didn't celebrate Sesame Street's 50th anniversary, which was in 2019. And I needed to update people because Sesame Street joined with HBO. And we needed to know a bit about that. And then they're also doing this beautiful international adaptation that will help the Middle East refugees, especially the Syrian children that won't see their homeland for 20 years.
Yeah.
And that is great. And the difference, though, is what they're doing with this international adaptation called something like Alan Simpson, meaning Welcome Sesame Street.
Uh-huh.
Welcome Sesame, excuse me. Mm-hmm. They're focusing on emotions instead of the cognitive, the numbers,
right. Gotcha.
Letters,
gotcha.
Classification.
Yeah.
And the research is still out, so it should be interesting to see what they learn.
Interesting.
In
that vein, see, I can't stop talking to you. In that vein.
That's okay. I'm glad we can keep talking even after you finish taping, but I know, yeah. I know.
Is Sesame Street worldwide, or is it specific to the United States?
Oh, no. It's in over 150 countries.
Isn't that something? That's what
they found out early on, for instance, the German Sesame Street was developed in 1973, 74, which is very early on. Since Sesame Street debuted here in America November 10th, 1969.
Yeah.
So the German Sesame Street, so they were going and doing international adaptations very early on. They realized the Muppets and the characterizations of them could lend themselves to melting into the culture of that country.
I see. Interesting. Well,
yeah.
it's really something. It's the book is called The Inside Secrets of Sesame Street. It's the third edition. Pick up any of the editions, but the third
and
would be the best.
Yeah, it's on Amazon. A little bit pricey because it's a coffee table book. So if you want to just have some nostalgic joy and you want to get the second edition, whatever your pocketbook can afford.
If someone wanted to follow this Dr. Lucille Burbank person, is there a website or something?
Well, my website is under reconstruction.
Okay.
But you know, you can just email me and I'm very accessible.
Okay.
All right.
I guess you're in the Google thing, though, probably, I'm sure.
I am, and I'm on YouTube. And all you right. have to do is all put right. in Lucille Burbank, Dr. Lucille Burbank, right. and you'll get me.
Excellent. It's been a okay. pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you.
Thanks for doing the book. Great job. And great interview. Thank you so much for your time today.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure, and have a great day.
Great. Thank you. Well, that'll do it for me today. Thank you so much for being here. You are wonderful people. I don't know how you retain your wonderfulness, but you do. Somehow you do. That was fun. I had a good time today. Did you? Oh, okay. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new show. Until then, until that time arrives, I wish you peace.